Welcome to MTG Pro Tutor, your gathering of insights, tips, and advice from renowned players and community icons. Connect with venerated teachers to gain the knowledge you need to improve your skills. Now, here's your planar guide and personal tutor, Sean Penrod.
Welcome back. This is episode 289 of the MTG Pro Tutor Podcast. Sean Penrod, your host here. So happy you're joining me today. We have a great guest lined up for you, like we do each and every week. Someone who's going to share their journey and their ups and downs along the way so that you can see what it's like. So you can be inspired. So you can say, hey, if they did it, I can too. The goal here is to help you achieve your dreams of playing on the Magic the Gathering Pro Tour. And we do that by bridging the gap between where you are and the players who actually do play on the Pro Tour are right now. They all started out just like you, playing FNM, going to Grand Prix, and then they made it. The guests of the show have made top eight of a Grand Prix or won an RPTQ, and they've made it to the Pro Tour. Some of them are Pro Tour regulars, and some of them it's their first time going. And we'd love to hear all their stories because it's inspiring to hear from the established pros and also from those who are just a few steps ahead of us. So before we dive into today's interview, I want to say thank you so much to Paragon City Games, proud sponsor of the show. So happy to be along for the ride with them. They provide the prize support for the monthly giveaways that we do for the patrons only and for the Sealed League that we do each and every set. The Sealed League is going on right now for Dominaria. It's been a blast playing with you guys. I love participating in those leagues. And the cut to top eight is actually happening today. So yesterday was the last day that we had the normal rounds, and now we are moving into the top eight phase. So congrats to everybody who made it to the top eight. Thank you so much for everybody who participated. And if you weren't able to dive in on this particular league, I look forward to having you on the next one. So stay tuned for information on that. Also, this weekend is Grand Prix Vegas times two. That's right. There are two Grand Prix going on this weekend in Vegas, and I will be in Toronto. I keep being in the wrong side of the world when these Grand Prix are going on. Like, Vegas isn't too far away from where I live, but unfortunately, it will be very far away from where I actually am. So good luck to everybody heading out to Grand Prix Vegas. They are a blast. A Grand Prix in Vegas was the first Grand Prix I ever went to, and yeah, I just really love them. So good luck again for anyone going out there, and let me know how you do. I'm definitely looking forward to the next listener turn guest. It's always a great time to have somebody who listens to the show qualify to the Pro Tour and then come and share their experience with us. So that said, be safe and good luck again. And without more delays, let's bring in our guest, sit down and talk about Magic. What is up, everybody? I am super pumped to have our guest with us today. Our guest has a few Grand Prix caches, has appeared on the Pro Tour once before, and now has his first Grand Prix Top 8 at GP Birmingham 2018. Coming to us from Chelmsford, England, prodigies near and far, let's welcome the one, the only, Matt Brown! Matt, how are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Glad to be here.
Excellent. Are you ready to delve into your mind and share with the audience tips and tricks to take the game to the next level?
I'm always down to delve.
Excellent, excellent. Now, prodigies out there, if you want to connect with Matt, you can do so on Twitter. He's at MattBrown_MTG. And we're also going to slide him into the Prodigy Facebook group, which is a really great way to reach out. You can tag him in the post, say thanks for being on the show, ask him a question. And that's over at mtgpro2.com/Facebook group. And you'll be able to join the group if you're not already there. So Twitter, Facebook, Matt, we got you covered. And tell us a little bit what you have going on outside of Magic. You're out there in Chelmsford. Are you working, going to school? Is Magic all you do? What do you have?
So I started an apprenticeship for accountancy last August. So just been doing that.
Excellent.
It's going quite well so far. I'm really happy where I'm working, and it allows me to play more Magic, which is always good.
That is good. That is good. So an apprenticeship for accountancy. So eventually you'll be an accountant?
Yep, that's the plan.
Okay, cool. What kind? Personal, corporate, what kind of accountant?
So I'm doing management accounting at the moment, so more towards like working with the board in the company,
okay,
preparing all the reports.
Excellent, very neat. And how'd you get into that?
To be honest, I don't really know. I've just always wanted to do accountancy.
Yeah.
And there was an opportunity, so I've taken it and I'm just rolling with it.
That's good, that's good. So counting other people's money, is that inspiring for you? Or you're like, oh man, like, how does that make you feel?
Well, I've always like preferred numbers, and yeah, counting other people's money is not the worst thing.
That's true. I guess it's better than counting other people's other stuff. I guess it's worse things to count.
Yeah.
Right on, dude. Cool. So out there doing that. That's really neat. And are you born and raised in Chelmsford?
Yeah, lived here my whole life.
Cool. Very cool. Man, that's exciting. So we love to get the origin story of our guest. So we would like you to take us back in time and really tell us a story of the first time that you saw or played with Magic cards.
So I think it must have been when I was about 8 or 9, because my dad used to play the game ages and ages
ago. Wow, that's cool.
And I used to just wake up on Saturday mornings and just play some casual games with him. I have him for about a year or so, and I stopped playing. Then when I was about 14, my chemistry teacher at high school just started talking to me about magic cards. He was like, oh, do you know what they are? I was like, yeah, I think my dad has some. And I guess it sort of just went from there.
Nice. So your chemistry teacher reintroduced you to the game. That's really fun. Do you remember what your first set was when you played with your dad back in the day?
Oh, God. I can't remember exactly. I think he just had a mishmash of cards from revised onwards for like 3 years or so.
That's cool. And when you were reintroduced to the game, what set did you come in on?
So I came in between Innistrad and Dark Symptoms. So my first event was a Dark Symptoms pre-release.
Oh, nice. That was a good time to come in.
Yeah, I picked a good one.
Yeah, that's really cool. Do you have a favorite set?
I think my favorite set is probably the Return to Ravnica block. So I'm excited to be going back there.
Yeah.
The new set's coming out.
Very cool. Very cool. And what's one of your favorite cards?
So my favorite deck of all time is the Mono Blue Devotion deck from the Return to Ravnica Theros standard. So my favorite card of all time is probably Cloudfin Raptor.
Ooh, okay. So for those of us who don't know, what is it? What does it do? And why do you like it?
Cloudfin Raptor is it costs 1 blue mana, so blue. It's a 0/1 flying, and it has evolve. So whenever a creature enters the battlefield under your control that has either power or toughness greater than Cloudfin Raptor, it gets a +1/+1 counter. So it's quite an innocuous little card, but it ramps up pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's neat. So 0/1 flying, and then in turn 2, the idea is you play something and attack and so forth and so on, just making him bigger and bigger. That's really neat. So did you do any shenanigans with him? Were you able to like pump him 15 times in a turn or something cool?
No, I think the biggest I got him was like a 5/6, which is pretty good for 1 mana.
Yeah.
Can't complain at that.
That's pretty fun. And like you said, kind of innocuous and just that incremental, you know, might not be super flashy, but just kind of grinds out value over time, especially over, you know, many games of playing. So
yeah,
that's really neat. That's really neat. Sweet. So came in, Innistrad Dark Ascension, really liked Return to Ravnica, Cloudfin Raptor. That's the first in a set. So that's really, really cool. And it's fun to kind of get to a little glimpse into your past and what you've, you know, grown up liking and the Magic space and whatnot. Tell us how you started getting more serious about Magic. Cause at some point people go, oh, hey, there's Friday Night Magic, or oh, hey, there's a local tournament or whatever. Like, what was that period of time like for you, and what was going on?
So, funnily enough, the two are linked. Because I used to just play my local store events, but my local store started running old school PTQs and ran a WMCQ. So I played in that, and Mono Blue was my favorite deck at the time, so I played that. And somehow I managed to rattle off a top 4 in that event, which was really sweet. And I sort of thought to myself at that time, I was like, if I can make the top 4 of this event, I can do well other events as well. So from that point, I just started trying to go to more and more events, because the best way to get better is to play against good opponents, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
So I was like, I just want to play as much as I can, play as much high level as I can, and just improve my game from there.
I love it. And I want to highlight, you know, as we mentioned in the bio, that you just made your first, you know, Grand Prix Top 8, which is awesome, because all the things that you're talking to us right now, these are things that we can do, you know, like you got your confidence.
Absolutely.
As you went to, you got top 4 at a local event. You're like, hey, like I can do this. And sometimes that's all it takes. Just like, you know, hey, you know, recognizing that Magic is fun and that you know, there's something to it, and you kind of got the feel for your local area and just try out the other events that are nearby. Cause like you said, you won't get better, or you get better by playing people who are better. And then also I love highlighting that you will never actually feel ready, right? You just have to go. Like, right. People, I don't want to go to Grand Prix. I'm not ready. You're never going to be ready unless you go, you know? And so I don't want to go to RPTQ or whatever, or a PPTQ because I'm not ready. Well, just go. Just understand that your first several times might be learning experiences, but you get used to that environment and playing against people you don't know, because that's a little bit different than playing against your mates, right? And anyways, and so I just wanted to highlight that for you, Prodigies, is that everything that Matt is telling us, you can do. He's just, you know, two steps ahead of us, and we're just diving into that story. So that's really cool. So you started going to more local events. Like bigger events and whatnot. What was an early challenge that you faced during that time when you started taking Magic more seriously? What did you run up against?
I think it was probably like my first couple of like PTQs and stuff after that was just like getting absolutely crushed and just realizing that, or sort of thinking to myself, like, did I just fluke doing well at that one event?
Yeah.
But then I was just like, I'm enjoying these events. Like, I'm not doing very well. Like, I'm going 2-4 or 2-5, but I'm enjoying myself while I'm there. So I'm just going to keep going. I get to hang out with a bunch of cool people, a bunch of my friends, and I get to have a great time while I'm there.
Yeah. So then just sticking with it, that's really neat. Like, I didn't know. Like we just said, the first couple times you go, they're learning events. You know, you got to get used to that environment. So how did you eventually overcome that? You just kept on going?
Yeah, so I kept on going, kept trying to play as many PTQs as I could, and then they introduced the RPTQ, or the PPTQ and RPTQ system.
Right.
So at this point, I was still playing my local events, but because I couldn't drive at the time, but trying to get lifts where I could play in PPTQs, and then I managed to win a PPTQ on like the second to last week of one of the seasons, and I was like, sweet, I get to go and play an RPTQ. But I was just like, I'm gonna play against great players, I'm gonna learn a lot, and I'm just gonna do my best. Like, there's no, you don't want to put too much pressure on yourself, because then you're not gonna enjoy it and you're not gonna do well.
Yeah, and I love your dedication. That's definitely something I want to highlight, is that, you know, this game, especially competitively, takes, you know, dedication, takes being able to stick with it even through, you know, the hard times. That's one of the things that, you know, we value as Prodigies, is that dedication to the game, dedication to, you know, improving yourself. Like you said, I'm going to learn from these great players. And that type of mindset, I think, is invaluable. Being able to take something away from every game, every event, regardless of your results, regardless of your record. I think that's a really key point. And that's really neat that you latched onto that early. And it's paid off. So that's cool.
Yeah, there's always going to be ups and downs when you're playing tournaments. You can't win everything. But yeah. You just got to enjoy yourself while you're there. It's a hobby at the end of the day.
That's true.
You'll do well eventually. Like, I think a lot of players think they're a lot worse than they actually are. And because they think that, they'll play a lot worse. I think if a lot of people just try to have more fun while they're playing, like, not necessarily like give away stuff while they're playing, but just like interact with your opponent in a nice manner, joke around a little bit in the game, you're going to have a better time and your results are going to get better over time as well.
And not only are there ups and downs within events, there's ups and downs within our Magic journey as a whole. So what has been your down, your worst Magic moment, and what you learned from it?
One of my worst was probably, I played an RPTQ probably about a year ago. And I felt it was a modern RPTQ, and I've been playing Affinity in modern for 4 or so years. I think I felt really prepared going into the tournament. I've done a bunch of testing. I'd got my sideboard to where I really wanted it to be, and I was comfortable playing all my matchups. And I went to I had to get a plane because it was up in Scotland. And I went there, and I did absolutely terribly. I think I went 1-5. And I was really, really disappointed with it. And I was just like, I don't want to play this deck anymore. Like, I want to take like a year's break from Magic or something. Just get it out of my system, come back fresh. And I went out to eat with my dad. And my dad was just like we just said, like, there's ups and downs. Like, it doesn't mean that I'm bad. It doesn't mean that I can't do well at future events. But I've just got to keep going and make sure that one thing doesn't knock me down.
Yeah. So You mentioned some of the factors, you know, like you took a plane there to go play and stuff like that. And you know, for a lot of people who love Magic, like they're willing to travel. And so that obviously takes resources, you know, time and money and stuff like that. But then when we do bad, because I know I've been there, you know, we feel like you feel like, oh my gosh, like I know I've been like, I wasted money coming here and the time. I could have like been with my family or whatever. All this stuff starts playing out in my head just because I did poorly at this event. How did you move like past that? So you went out to have a good dinner with your dad and stuff like that. But moving forward, how did you internalize and get over, you know, all those feelings?
So when I got back, I was just like, when I play like weekend tournaments in my local store, maybe PPTQ, I'm not going to play the deck that is the best deck for the tournament. I'm going to play a deck that I know I'm going to enjoy playing for six rounds against, and I'm just going to have fun with my opponents. Like I said earlier, you've got to enjoy it. And yeah. I think that's something that I lost when I went to play the modern RPTQ. Mm. I was too focused on winning and not the game that we all know and love.
That's a really good point. So you came back, and there are different ways to handle this, and I don't think any are right or wrong. Some people do take a break, you know, like you said. But in your case, I love what you highlighted. You, instead of putting that pressure on you to like do well, you took the pressure off, like you said before, by playing just a fun deck that you knew that you would like. So it's like, hey, you know what? I'm not going necessarily to win. I'm going to play Magic and have fun. And I'm going to take this deck over here. And yeah, it's not the most competitive deck or whatever, but I know that it's a fun deck and I'm going to play it and it's just going to be a good time. And so you're still playing Magic. You're still, you know, like around those people and around that environment, which is, you know, the community, I think, is why a lot of people stay and play Magic, just because, you know, it's such a great community. But then you're also able to just try something new and play without the pressure. I think that's a really, really good point. And so that's a tool that we can put in our tool bags. It's like, hey, if we need a break, but we don't actually want to stop playing Magic, just play something fun and don't play competitive. Go to events and just kind of play what suits your fancy and see how that goes for a couple weeks, couple months or whatever.
Yeah. Cause I think the first FNM I went to after that, I was like, I'm going to play Metalwork Colossus and I'm going to play Paradoxical Outcome. And I'm just going to draw all the cards and I'm going to Apex Reservoir and kill some people.
That sounds like fun, and I'm sure it came together sometimes, and you're like, oh, that was a lot of fun, and it didn't come together some other times, and that was okay too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's fun. Well, cool. So I love that. I love that lesson learned from, you know, a hard time in your Magic journey. But now let's go to the ups. What has been your proudest Magic moment?
I mean, at this point, it's got to be my GP top 8 in Birmingham.
Woo-hoo! So cool. So cool. So tell us about that. So it was, there were two Grand Prix that weekend, Legacy and Standard, and you top 8ed the Standard one. So tell us, leading up to that event, how did you choose your deck? How far in advance did you choose your deck? How much were you playing leading up to it? Just tell us about the preparation leading up to Grand Prix Birmingham.
So a lot of my friends are big Legacy people and they don't really play that much Standard. So I was practicing a bunch of Legacy with them. And I was playing Red Black Reanimator in Legacy. But all the decks my friends were playing were just horrifically bad matchups for me. But I was like, I'm just going to keep playing because I'm enjoying playing Magic. We went up on, because it was the 4-day GP, We went up early Thursday morning to play some side events for the GP. I played 2 3-round Legacy events. I went 1-2 in both of them. But I just enjoyed it. Like, especially going to GPs, everyone's there to play Magic and have a good time. So I played the Legacy GP the next day. I had 2 buys from Planeswalker points. And I played against 2 friends in round 4 and round 5. And I swiftly 0-3 dropped after my 2 buys.
Okay.
Which wasn't what I was hoping for, but it meant that I could sign up for a standard side event, practice for the standard GP, because I hadn't played that much standard leading up to the event. But I was like unsure what was good. So I've been talking to Matthew Folks, who streams on Twitch quite a lot. He posted a red black list on his Twitter. So I was like, this list looks good. He's having good results with it. So I'm going to play it in a side event and probably play it in the GP tomorrow. So I signed up for my side event and I swiftly went 1-2 in my side event again. I was like, I'm not going to try and change deck now. I'm just going to play this same 75 cards for the main event tomorrow. Like, maybe test a little bit when I go back to our hotel. I think I played like 3 or 4 games. Yeah, and I just went to bed, and I was pretty happy going into the GP, because I was just like, even if it goes wrong, Magic's great and the people are great. I'm just going to enjoy it. So I came off my 2 buys in the standard, and I won rounds 3 through 6.
Oh, wow.
So
that's a good start.
I beat a few people that I recognized. I was like, this is going well. And I think at that point, one of my friends told me that if I was going to go 8-0, he was going to buy me some chips. So I was really pumped to try and get 8-0 because I wanted some chips because I was a bit hungry.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I lost in round 7.
He jinxed you.
Yeah. So I lost to the guy. There's a guy playing like a mono black control deck that looked really sweet. I think he went 8-0 on day 1. So you can find this list on the Wizards website.
Oh, for sure.
But I was like, then my round 8 opponent, he had lethal on board in game 3. All he had to do was crew his Sky Sovereign with his Scrappy Scrounger and attack me. But he just went straight to combat and forgot to crew the Sky Sovereign.
Hmm.
So it was like, I think I took 3, went to 2, and then I was like, draw my card, play a Chandra, plus my Chandra, and I found an Abrade. I was like, I feel bad for my opponent, but I'll take it.
Yep, that's magic. Like, I mean, so many times we're on the other side, right? We had the bad beat story, and sometimes it's the other way around, and you get to experience the other side. So, well, there you go. Okay, yeah. So you got the Abrade and turn that game around.
Yeah, so I was 7-1 after day 1, so I was pretty excited.
That's really good.
I haven't day 2 to GP for probably my last 4 or 5 GPs before this one. I hadn't day 2'd, so I was excited to play a day 2 again. I won round 9, round 10. Like, before round 10, I'm joking with one of my friends about, oh, we're both at 8-1. What happens if we both get paired? It's just like, oh, what happens if we both get paired and we've gained the feature match error and we're on camera?
Huh.
Everything happened but being on camera. So I played against my friend, which was a bit unfortunate, and he crushed me. So I was like, I can still top 8 the GP. I'm 8-2. All I got to do, I just got to win 5 rounds in a row. It's like playing a Magic Online League.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The next round I play against Steve Hatto. I think he's an American guy. He's a super nice opponent.
Yeah.
Just like joking the whole time through. And it was just like, it was sort of refreshing because after losing, obviously I was a bit beaten up because I was like, I was doing really well. This loss is knocked me down quite a bit. But after playing against Steve, like, we had some super close games and I managed to eke it out in game 3 because he got a bit flooded. And I was just like, I'm just going to enjoy it and I'm going to do well while I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
So I think my next three rounds are all red-black aggro mirrors, including a round against Petr Sucharek. He's a European pro player.
Yeah. Past guest of the show. He's good. He's a good guy too.
Yeah, he's a great guy. And I won all those. So I'm at 12-2. And I'm talking to some of my friends. I'm like, I'm not good at tiebreaker maths. Can someone else do it for me?
Yeah, I'm not good either.
So they were like, sure. And like the standings go up. And it's, I think I was in 9th. And my other friend that was on 10-2, or 11th, or 12-2 rather, was in 10th. So we were like, we're going to be playing each other in the next round. And because of where we'll be, we're going to be in the feature match area. It's just like, neither of us have a top 8, so we're playing for quite a lot. And in the end, it happened that way. So I played against him. I think you can catch the first bit of our match on the Twitch coverage for round 15.
Mm-hmm.
And how it looks on the Twitch coverage is I lose game 1 pretty... It's not very close. Like, he does blue-white control stuff. Game 2, we're in a super tough spot. And that's when the coverage stops and they go to the top 8 announcement. So I'm down a game and game 2 is not looking great for me. And then they announce that I'm in the top 8 and I was looking back at the chat and the chat just went like mad. It was like, how did the guy lose the game?
What?
I was just like,
yeah, that's weird how they did that.
I was just like, at that point I was over the moon. Like, So our local shop owner was up there as well, and he was just stood on the side watching my game for the whole time. I finished my game, let out a huge sigh of relief, and went over and just gave him like a massive high five.
Wow, that's cool. So is the Twitch, is it like delayed or something? But then they cut to the top eight, like real time. Like how do they announce the top eight before you're done playing your match?
So I think we were one of the backup matches.
Oh, okay.
So they recorded us and then they put us on after the main match.
Oh, got it. Okay. So just the coverage was delayed and it had already been done. And okay, cool. So, but if you're watching it, you're on the ropes and then you get announced in the top eight and then there's a huge like gap and everyone's like, how do you close that gap? What happened?
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Oh man. Did your other friend who beat you the first time make it?
So he played against me in round, I think it was round 10.
Yeah.
And then he played against Luke Southworth in round 11 and he beat both of us. And then he lost his last four rounds to finish 10-5.
Okay.
Which is brutal.
Yeah. Yeah. So he didn't make it. And then you beat your other friend to make it into the top eight. So.
Yeah. Oh, so man. At this point, I'm like, I've got some cash. I get to play on another Pro Tour, which I've been wanting to do for quite a while.
Yeah.
My other Pro Tour was Pro Tour Kaladesh. So a bit of a gap between them.
Well, that is so like, fun that you made it.
Yeah. I was just like, I'm in the top eight. It's not going to happen all too often that I'll make a GP top eight. So I'm just going to enjoy the fact that I'm here.
And tell us about the top eight.
So luckily I was in fourth going into the top eight. So I got to choose to play for my quarterfinals. And I think I sat down opposite my opponent and I was just like, have you played a Pro Tour before? He was like, what do you mean? So I had to explain to him that making the top eight also qualified him for the Pro Tour in Atlanta.
Nice.
And he was like super stoked about it.
Oh man, that's so fun.
Yeah, then I think our games were pretty uneventful because it was a red-black aggro mirror.
Okay.
And I think I drew a bit better than my opponent, so the games weren't particularly close. But I got a bunch of time because my match was the first one finished. I've got a bunch of time to try and like compose myself. Get a drink of water and just get ready for semi-final.
Okay.
Like, I'm trying to figure out who my opponent's going to be. And then like, the judge comes over to me. It's like, okay, you're playing against Simon Nielsen in the top four now. I'm like, that's a big name. Can I not play against one of the smaller name players? But the same with when I played against Steve in the Swiss. Like, Simon was such a nice opponent. He's such a nice guy.
He is.
Like, no one can have any complaints about him. He's just a great guy. The top four match wasn't very eventful. I think I mulliganed a lot and didn't draw my third land in game two, but can't complain.
Yeah. So that was that for you. But like you said, you made it to the top eight. You just had fun the whole way, and you're happy with with making it there and the results that you had. And like you said, can't complain as to how it panned out.
Yeah, and then as soon as the top four finished, I was like, right, are there any legacy side events that I can go and join?
Ah.
I want to play some more Magic before I go.
Right back to something. Oh, that's fun. That's neat. So, I mean, that was cool. I loved hearing all the way through the event. I'm going to rewind back to the beginning. So you mostly played legacy leading up to this and then just kind of like threw together, I guess I'll just do standard and then end up going all the way.
Wow. So Matthew Foltz streams, like I said, streams a lot on Twitch.
Yeah.
And he's normally the standard trophy leader, or he was for a few of like the rotations. So I was like, he knows what he's doing in standard. I'm just going to get 75 cards off of him, and I'm just going to play them and hope for the best.
That's why not, right? Like, if you're investing your time and energy somewhere else, then trust the people who are heavily invested in the other format that you're not able to take a look at, and like you said, like, hey, I know that he devotes his life to standard and he knows what he knows what's up. So I can do much worse than picking up his 75 and going with it, So that's cool.
Yeah. If someone else is putting in some work, then you should use that data. Yeah. Absolutely. You should use it.
Yeah. That's cool. Now, I mean, despite your amazing story to the contrary, it is good if you get some reps in beforehand and practice and stuff like that.
I would not recommend. I played three rounds with the deck before the GP. I would recommend playing a lot more than that.
Yeah, yeah, but But the point is, you know, trust the people who, you know, are invested in the format and really studying it. Like you said, if there's data out there, go ahead and use it and then add to it what you can, because it makes it even better. But at least start there. You know, if you're just at a loss, then find a streamer who's doing the format you want to get into and just play what they play and just see how that goes for a little bit, you know, or talk to the people, you know, locally who, you know, are doing really good in the format and just start there. So that's really cool, man. What a story. So how many pro points do you have now?
So I have eight pro points for the season now. So I'm a few points off of bronze, but I'm going to Copenhagen, GP Copenhagen in a few weeks. So I'm hoping to get bronze from that.
All right. Very cool. Very cool. Before they switch over to the rolling seasons. Yeah. What do you think of that?
I don't fully understand it. I'm having to get my friends to explain it to me.
That's funny. On the last episode that with Luke, same thing. He's like, I don't really understand it. I don't think anybody does, is what he said. So yeah, we're still trying to figure it out. So that's cool.
I'm just gonna keep winning. And
hope
the Wizards tell me that I've reached bronze.
Yeah, that works. Yeah, just keep doing. Just do your best, right?
Yeah.
So okay, very cool. So you have a couple events, or at least one more lined up where you can get a couple more points. Try and get bronze. It's really cool. We always love it when guests go on to do great things. One thing I'd love to ask is, you've been playing Magic for a while, and you know, all over in different places and whatnot. What's the biggest mistake that you've seen players make?
I would say it's small things. There's a lot of small things that a lot of newer players make, like giving away free information when you're playing like a PPTQ. Mm-hmm. Because if your opponent is a good opponent, which you hope they are, you want to play against good people, they're going to use every bit of information and every like free point of damage they can get.
So giving away information like tells and stuff, like, you know, body language and things like that, or onboard stuff? What do you mean?
So a lot of new players, obviously, like if it's in a late game and they draw a land or something, they'll give off like a tell, they'll give off like a sigh or something. Mm-hmm. And if I'm playing against someone and they do that, it really gives me information on how I should make my plays for the next turn or so. Which I think is the thing that a lot of people don't really pick up on.
Mm-hmm. And so, two things. One, how do you get better at controlling that so you don't give information away?
Obviously, different people have different things. Like, I know some of my friends will try and block out people that are like stood behind them when they're watching to make them nervous. So they put up, like, if they're wearing a hoodie, they'll put the hood up. But I just try and be as emotionless as I can while I'm playing. Mm-hmm. Like, if it's in a high-stakes situation. Obviously not to the point where I want to not enjoy the game or be rude to my opponent.
Right.
But I'll always draw my card in the same way. I'll always think about what I'm doing before I do it. And just try and stay calm while you're playing.
Yeah.
It's really important.
And so then the flip side is, how do you get better at seeing those things in your opponent and capitalizing on them?
For me, it's just the more I've played, the more you can pick it up, I guess. Like, when you play against the really good people, you'll notice that they don't give anything away. And for me, it's sort of like, well, why are they... Like, why has he got his hood up, or why is he just ignoring everyone that's watching the game? And it's just so they can concentrate. So I started adopting like the mannerisms of the people that I knew were better than me. And it really does help. You don't think it does sometimes, but it really helps your game.
Hmm. Cool. I think that's a really good, both sides, you know, really good tip in learning how to control your emotions, be, you know, very stoic as you play. I think having patterns, like you said, drawing your card the same way, taking time to think, I think that's really important, because, you know, a lot of people, when there's like an quote obvious play or only one play or whatever, they just do it real quick, right? But then what that does is that the times that you take to think then your opponent goes, oh, hey, he was usually playing super fast before. Now he had to think on this one. Maybe he has a counter spell or whatever. So if you, even if you have like a really obvious like play, if you just kind of take a couple seconds and then make it, then as you develop that pattern, then it becomes a little harder to determine if that was like an obvious play or your only play, or you know, think about it. So little things like that. Or, you know, if you always draw your card and then wait, you know, and not just go, oh, it's a land, throw it in there. If you kind of, I don't know, like come up with a system, like look at the card for the same amount of seconds. Even if it's a land, then you don't give away that, oh, he just drew a land, right? Cause he had to read it.
Yeah.
So
yeah, give a small seed of doubt in your opponent's line.
Yeah.
Which just means that your opponent might play slightly worse. They might play around, like if you're playing a control deck, they might play around a counter spell, like an essence scatter. They might play their cards differently. Whereas if you just draw your card and play it straight away and it's a land, your opponent's going to play around the same stuff they did the turn before because they know you haven't got anything new.
Yeah. Mm, good stuff. Man, I love that. I love that. There's so many layers to Magic, and it's really fun. Really fun. So that's the biggest mistake that you see players make. We talked about how we can kind of work through that. What have you learned from Magic that you've been able to apply to other areas of your life, Matt?
Probably just people skills. Like while I was at school, I wasn't the most talkative person. I like to keep to myself quite a lot. But since I've been playing Magic a lot more, I feel like I'm a more approachable person. I just enjoy talking to people now, especially about Magic. But I feel like especially at work, I have to talk to a lot of people that I might not get along with. But when you're playing Magic sometimes, you will have like opponents that are a bit salty after they lose a match or something. And Magic just taught me to be civil with those people, mm-hmm. be respectful towards them. But now you don't have to be friends with them. But you just don't want to be a nasty person towards them because it's going to make your life better and it's going to make their life better.
So can you give us an example of because what you just said sounds like good sportsmanship to me, you know, like having respect for your opponent, respect for yourself, you know, not getting, you know, walked all over, but not being a jerk to other people and whatnot. So can you give us an example of a time that you experienced sportsmanship either from yourself or from an opponent?
For me, it's small things. Like I'll always try and after a match, no matter if I win or lose, if it's a close game or if it's one of us misses land drops and the game isn't close, I'll always try and just like, talk to my opponent for a little bit after the game, like good games, shake their hands, like talk a bit about sideboarding as people normally do when you finish the match. But if my opponent's being like quite salty, I'll try and keep the like how much I talk to them to a minimum.
Yeah.
But I'll still like shake their hands, still say, you know, good games. Like, what do you think about this line of play? And I don't know. Afterwards, I'll just go and talk to my friends. But if my opponent's a really nice person, I'll normally just stay sat at the table and just talk to them for like 10 minutes about Magic.
Cool. That's cool. Yeah, just being, letting the guards down, the game's over, being a person, you know, making a friend. Like, that's really cool. And being a good example of Magic sportsmanship. I love it.
Yeah.
So what resources do you turn to, Matt, when you're keeping your finger on the pulse of Magic? Where do you go to keep up with what's going on?
I watch a lot of streamers on Twitch. Cool. They're playing the game all the time. You learn so much from watching people as well. Just being able to absorb other people's opinions, other people. Like you might be watching someone and see a really cool line of play and you think, I wouldn't have thought of that. And then you go to your Friday Night Magic and you come up in that situation and you can suddenly have a new way of thinking about that situation. I try to read a lot of articles as well, Star City Games and Channel Fireball. The pro players write their articles on there. You should absolutely read them because they have the best opinions in the game. You learn so much just from reading the articles.
Yeah. Cool. So watch the streams on Twitch, Star City Games, and Channel Fireball. Those are good places. Good places to go, for sure.
Yeah. The other one, probably the most important one, is just talking about Magic with my friends.
Yeah.
I'll just be like, I'll get home from work and I'll just be like, I want to play some Magic online. Like, I'll play a League of Magic online and I'll just sit and talk with my friends about Magic. And again, it goes back to just enjoying the game. Because when you enjoy it, you learn more as well.
Mm-hmm. So what would you say is your best format?
Probably standard.
Nice.
I haven't been playing Legacy for all too long. And I haven't had, only since I started my apprenticeship in August, have I really had that much disposable income to get into Legacy and Modern.
Yeah.
So mostly standard. I like a good cube draft every now and then.
Cool. So on the topic of standard, I know that there's a couple week lag between recording and release or whatever, but tell us what's working now. What are you seeing working in standard?
At the moment, there's a lot of people playing their like blue-white control deck with four Teferis. Teferi is a very, very powerful card. And people have just cut the Torrential Gear Hulks because they want to try and fight against the red-black deck that did so well in Birmingham.
Yeah.
So there's a lot more control decks. But to be honest, the format is just wide open. You can play whatever you want. You can play mono black, you can play mono white, you can play a big green deck, you can play an Esper control deck, you can play like a Godfarer's Gift deck, a Goblins deck, and all of them. The thing I love about Standard is there's so many viable decks at all times.
Yeah, good time to be a Magic player. That's cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's really cool. So do you have any daily habits or rituals, things that you do on a regular basis, Magic related or not, that you feel contribute to your success?
Probably just be when I get home from work, I'll get myself something to eat and I'll just sit and watch someone stream on Twitch while I'm eating my dinner.
Yeah.
And I'll just, they might be playing like a really obscure deck in Legacy, or they might be playing what's good in Standard at the time. But it's just absorbing. I try to absorb as much content as I can. When I'm on my lunch breaks at work, I'll go on Channel Fireball and Star City Games and read the articles that came out on that day. Just try and keep as up to date as I can.
That's good. Man, well, that's sweet. That's really cool to hear kind of how you go about, approaching the format and picking decks and whatnot. And so do you consider yourself a deck builder or tweaker? Or?
I think I'm more of a try and let someone else do most of the work, tweak it a little bit. But I focus mostly on trying to play the deck as well as I can.
Okay. So pilot, you're a very good pilot.
Yeah.
Cool, man. That was really cool. Well, hey, prodigies out there, I want to remind you, if you want to connect with Matt, you can do so on Twitter at MattBrown_MTG. We're also going to get him into the Facebook group so you can do a post and tag him in it, and that might be a really good way to get a conversation going. So, Matt, as we close things out, what is one final piece of guidance you have for us? Either something you already said that you want to emphasize or something new you want to leave with us here at the end?
It's probably something I said earlier, which is just enjoy yourself while you're playing. The more you play, the better you're going to get. But you've got to have fun while you're doing it, right? Otherwise, it's going to become less of a hobby and more of a chore.
And Matt, I want to acknowledge you for your contributions to Multiverse. And thank you so much for sharing your stories and your time and your experiences with us today. You are a hero among Planeswalkers, and it's been a blast chatting with you. May you never be mana screwed. Always draw what you need and depart every plane victorious.
Thank you very much for having me.
Hey, Matt, thank you again for being our guest on episode 289 of the MTG Pro Tutor podcast. Prodigies, of course, you can get the show notes at mtgprotutor.com/Matt Brown, where you can get a synopsis of what we talked about and links to any resources that were mentioned. And to wrap things up, a quick reminder that this weekend is Grand Prix Vegas. So if you're not able to attend, make sure that you catch the coverage online. That'd be a lot of fun. It's always cool to see what's going on and what's new and hot in competitive Magic. So I know I love tuning in and seeing what's going down when I'm not able to attend Grand Prix. And of course, as I said, if you are going, good luck. I absolutely love playing Magic at high levels, and I know that many of you prodigies do as well. So if you are out there at GP Vegas, good luck. And as always, I'm on the hunt for the next listener turned guest. So if you make it to the top eight, feel free to let me know. We'll have you on the show ASAP and get your story told. Finally, I want to close out by saying thank you to the patrons who make this all possible. It's because of their support that we're able to keep the lights on and keep the show going. So if you are interested in becoming a patron, you go to mtgpro2.com/Patreon, but only do that if you feel that you've gotten value out of this show. All right? If you feel like you haven't gotten value out of the show, then let me know. I would really love to fine-tune my approach and really hone in on the topics that matter the most to you and really help you improve your game. So let me know if there's areas that I can do better. And if you feel that you have gotten some value out of the show and you want to see it continue, then I invite you to go to mtgpro2.com/Patreon, where you can learn more about signing up to support the show directly. And last but not least, a huge thank you to Paragraph City Games, proud sponsor of the show, who provides the prize support for our monthly giveaways and our sealed leagues that we do once per set. Well, that about wraps things up for today's interview. Thank you so much for tuning in. I absolutely love that you are here. I love doing this for you and bringing you the best tips, tricks, and advice from the best players in the world. So stay tuned and come back next week. Until then, I'm Sean of the Gathering, and we will see you in the next cast.
This round of MTG Pro Tutor is over. So you don't miss a single episode of MTG Mastery. Be sure to subscribe to the show on your preferred podcast listening service for more exclusive interviews, deck building tips, and elite content. Or visit mtgprotutor.com to stream it straight from the source. We look forward to helping you think and play like a pro.